Call the meeting to order.
We do not have a quorum. And like I had stated in the earlier meeting, the individuals that we were going to recognize, they asked if we would hold off to where they could organize some family and friends. They wanted to share in the moment as well. So we are not going to recognize anybody today. We are going to get started. First on the agenda, we have Representative McNamara, House File 906. Representative McNamara, or excuse me, 1906. Thank you. Representative McNamara, if you want to start presenting your bill, and then I may need to interrupt you once we get a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The bill is here today before you for Section 1. That's the finance part. Section 2 of the bill is the policy bill, and that's been heard in Chairman Anderson's committee, and that part's been laid over there. Mr. Chair, the issue is I think the bill last year, the department has said they don't have quite the clear authority on where to take the money from. So the bottom line is there's been discussion on whether the money should come out of the nursery account or out of the pesticide regulatory account. The two interests, I come from the nursery industry. Mr. Chair, you come from the ag industry, and unfortunately those two industries haven't come together yet on a solution. So what the amendment that's going to be offered, I believe, by one of the members of the committee would say the commissioner of ag will determine where the money comes from. That's the gist of it. But the bill's being laid over, if I understand the motion right, and we still need the two groups and the department to work together to get a solution that will be kumbaya.
That is correct. We do have a quorum, so I'll officially call the meeting to order. Chair McNamara, you want to speak to the amendment? Well, first of all, Representative Poppy, are you okay? The amendment that we're going to have before us, mm-hmm. Are we okay if we waive the 24-hour rule?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I've spoken to the co-authors of the bill, and I understand there's still going to be some discussion surrounding this issue, but I think it's appropriate for us to move the amendment, and I'm happy to move the amendment in order to get the bill into a place where I think the communication between the interested parties will continue.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. So I'll move House File 1906 to get it before us. Would you like to speak to the amendment then, or do you have testifiers that like to speak to the amendment?
Mr. Chair and members, and thank you, Representative Poppy, for moving that amendment, and appreciate the flexibility. It was just worked on late last night. I think, Mr. Chair, it might be appropriate to hear from both of the interest groups on the issue, and I think most importantly on the ability for MDA to find a solution on this, and I'm assuming that they're here, and if somebody from MDA could comment on the solution that we've worked with Mr. Sullivan just in the last hour to come up with this language that I'm trying to let the commissioner be the referee.
All right. Thank you, Representative McNamara. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm a co-author on this bill with Representative McNamara, and I want to, for the record, note the intent when these bills were moving through the testing with pesticide applicators. So when you're testing the analysis to see if there is a pesticide in there, that my intent was that would come from the pesticide regulatory account, because the analysis is dealing with pesticides. That's the part of the lab. They're going to be looking for pesticides in the plants, so that was my intent. There's been a disagreement about lack of authority for that. You will see the cross references in the original bill citing pesticide law, but I think dealing with Section 1 clearly here, this and the amendment, that provides a path for some action by the department to make their interpretation with the legislative direction. I do want to ask, Mr. Chair, that since the policies, whenever this is laid over and if it comes back in the finance bill, to separate out the policy from the finance, the policies moving in the policy bill, that the finance moves in the finance bill. I think that would be a good government thing, and we like to do that. So appreciate Representative Poppy's support on this, and McNamara disappeared for a moment there. and Chair McNamara and I have talked about this, so I think it's the amendment's good and should be adopted.
All right, thank you. I do have a technical question to Mr. Sullivan. With the amendment that is proposed here, and I hope everybody has a copy of that as well, it is not referred to as an A1 or anything like that. Is there something we need to do so that we can actually refer to the amendment, Mr. Sullivan?
Mr. Chair and members, that's correct. I drafted the amendment very recently this morning and didn't have time to run it through the revisor system that would put an official number on it. But I think as long as the committee is clear that everyone's working from the amendment titled Sullivan 326-2015, then it's okay to adopt the language as members have it before them.
All right. Thank you. So we are referring to the Sullivan amendment. That may be a first. That may be a first. So, Chair Poppy, did you move the amendment? Am I correct by that?
Yes, I moved the amendment. And I think the other key is, I know there's a 24-hour time period here, but the fact is this will be laid over, so there'll be more than 24 hours to actually continue the discussion.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Poppy. She moved the Sullivan amendment, so we have the amendment before us as well. Chair McNamara.
Well, Mr. Chair, and for members, maybe Mr. Sullivan could read the Poppy oral amendment, and then we happen to have a written copy of Representative Poppy's oral amendment to make it easier for folks to see, but maybe staff could read the oral amendment and we could adopt an oral amendment.
Thank you, Chair McNamara. Mr. Sullivan, to the Sullivan amendment.
Mr. Chair, the amendment is to House File 1906, page 1, line 12. Delete the new language and insert, and may also be used by the commissioner for purposes of section 18H.14, paragraph E.
Any questions to the amendment from the members? Any questions? Hearing none. Chair McNamara, you said that you may have some testifiers to speak to this portion or to the bill in general.
Mr. Chair, this is the only reason the bill is before this committee. It deals with the finance issue of this bill, and the only change is this specific amendment. So I think it would be appropriate probably to hear from the three different groups. I don't know if you want to adopt the oral amendment and then have them talk. Maybe they should talk first because we may not adopt it, or you may not adopt it.
Yeah, I would like to hear from them, if we could, please. So if we could call up your testifiers at this time.
Mr. Chair, do you want to hear from the Department of Ag first or do those last?
We can do that last.
Okay. I've got one on each side. I'll sit in the middle, Mr. Chair, so it goes.
Yeah. We don't want any fighting. Peace in the valley. So to the testifiers, please state your name for the record and begin.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Tim Power. I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Minnesota Nursery and Landscape Association.
Welcome.
When this law was passed last year, it was unclear that there were going to be fiscal implications. It now appears clear that there will be. In determining through talking with MDA how they would implement the law, it became clear that one of the sources that they might tap would be something called the nursery dedicated account. This is the fund into which our growers and dealers pay their certification fees annually. We would prefer that the funds to implement 1906, the policy aspects of 1906 not come from the nursery dedicated account. That does not mean that we are dead set on having it come out of pesticide regulatory account. We are just trying to avoid having it come out of nursery dedicated account from our industry standpoint. I'd be happy to stand for questions, Mr. Chair.
All right. Any questions for the testifier? Hearing none. Mr. Bond?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Bill Bond, representing the Minnesota Crop Production Retailers. Those are the folks that provide the crop inputs and services to farmers throughout Minnesota. Really appreciate that Representative McNamara has met with us and tried to craft a solution with this amendment. Our point was the same point we raised last week in policy, and that was we just thought that the precedent of taking what was obviously a flower and bush nursery issue from the pesticide regulatory account was not the tradition. Of course, this committee knows that so much of the ag department's funding are dedicated accounts, and people get protective about their accounts, and they don't want to see their fees increased. Agriculture is seeing a proposal from this administration to raise fertilizer fees. The commissioner raised the ACRA pesticide fee at the beginning of this year. And so there's some sensitivity. That being said, we realize this is a sensitive issue, and so we don't want to be difficult, and we will work with the author on this either way. But we wanted to say, at the end of the day, we thought that it made most sense for it to come out of the nursery regulatory account, and when asked, and we asked him, why would you not want it to come out of the nursery account? Well, they don't want to see their fees raised. I understand that, neither do we.
All right, thank you. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Bond, the pesticide regulatory account, do nursery and landscape owners and businesses pay into the pesticide regulatory account?
Mr. Bond. Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, I believe they do. To the amount, I don't know. And, in fact, Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, I would say I haven't seen a fiscal note on this to know what the actual costs are. And I'm wondering if anybody has seen a fiscal note.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, and I think the Ag Department may be able to give some estimates, but Mr. Bond or Mr. Power, does the structural pest control folks, do they pay into the pesticide regulatory?
Who would like to take that? Mr. Power?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, I believe they do, because I believe they, since they are purchasing pesticides, they are paying fees to and through their dealer into the PRA.
Representative Hansen.
And,
excuse me.
Mr. Chair, and maybe any of the testifiers, do all pesticide manufacturers, whether they're agricultural or nursery and landscape or homeowner, everyday Minnesotan use products, do they pay into the pesticide regulatory account?
Mr. Power.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, they certainly do. There are multiple sources going into this account, including my industry as well as traditional ag.
Representative Hansen, any other questions for the testifiers? All right. Representative McNamara?
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm thinking that the referee may need to come down.
All right. Let's bring down the referee from the Department of Ag. If you would come down, please. Oh, Mr. Santo Cruz is now a referee. Please state your name for the record and begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Santo Cruz, Minnesota Department of Ag, a.k.a. the referee between the two dedicated accounts. You know, oftentimes people say, let's take this outside. Well, in that case, outside is MDA. This is not our bill. We are we don't have a position, but we're happy to follow the intent of the legislature. We will take this language. We will take it back to the department. We do appreciate that it says May, and that way it gives us time to work with the parties. I've worked with Mr. Bond, and I've worked with Mr. Power on different issues. We've always been able to get to a place of acceptance, or at least maybe people aren't always happy with where we end up, but they understand it, and I believe we've had their support in the past. So that would be the goal, if this passes, to get to a similar place with both groups and negotiate how this would impact both of their constituencies.
All right, thank you for that. Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We seem to have a stalemate here, but any idea to any of the testifiers or Representative McNamara, are we talking a lot of money here? Any idea what we're looking at, what we're discussing here?
Mr. Cruz.
Mr. Chair, we and Mr. Chair, we see this as really a advertising bill, so we don't anticipate a lot of testing. I sent some emails around this morning anticipating that this question might come up, and I was told by our lab that the biggest cost would be developing the lab procedures themselves. The tests, then, once that procedure is set up, once it's scientifically, you know, they have these protocols and has to be registered, and basically so it can be accepted by the community, they said it'd be about $40,000 to get that process up and running, and then it would be less than that thereafter, year over year, to actually do the testing. But again, we're not talking about doing testing. There's never been an intention by the department to test every plant that comes down the line. It's really spot checking to make sure that the advertising aspect, and that, as we understand it, that's the spirit of the law, is that this is really a consumer advertising law. This isn't a chance for MDA to start, you know, increasing its regulatory footprint on the Landscape Association.
Chair Anderson. No? All right. Chair McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm wondering if the commissioner could weigh in. Would this legislation allow your boss to say, set part of the fee to be paid out of one of the funds and part of the fee to be paid out of one of the other fund?
Commissioner Cruz.
Thank you for the promotion, Mr. Chair and members. I would say that that's how I read it this morning, that in fact it could be part of both.
Mr. Chair, yeah. I remind members that it is protocol that you can drop the word assistant or deputy to speed the conversation up.
Yeah, well, he's not. He's neither. So.
Oh, I thought he was.
He's just a lawyer. I digress. I'm going to call myself the order here, I think. So.
Mr. Chair, and I'm just a landscaper.
I lose all control. I apologize. This is not how to run a committee, all right, to the students in the audience. I apologize. So we're going to go ahead, and we're going to vote on the amendment. So Chair Poppy renews her motion on the Sullivan/Poppy oral amendment. Any discussion from the members on the amendment? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. So now we have the bill before us. Any questions about the bill? We do have a couple testifiers, right? Can we call down the testifiers? We have a couple testifiers who'd like to vote on, testify on this.
I'm sure they'd love
Rupp
to vote.
And a rant. What's that?
I'm sure they'd love to vote.
Yes. Not vote. Come down and testify, please. Make your way down front, if you would, please. Please state your name for the record and begin.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members. My name is Lex Horan, and I work with the Pesticide Action Network of North America. We've been working on this issue around pollinator declines since about 2009, working with beekeepers and farmers all over the state on the issue. We were a strong supporter of the nursery labeling bill last year, and we are in favor of the Pesticide Regulatory Fund continuing to fund testing of nursery plants as this amendment suggests. We believe that the registrants who are registering and selling the pesticide products that are, again, one of the drivers behind the kinds of bee and pollinator declines that we're seeing, we believe that those registrants should be responsible for doing this testing to assess the impacts that they're having in the environment. And we know that those low-level presences of these pesticides in nursery plants are one of the drivers. And so we don't support changing this law to only assess the acute toxicity of these pesticides in the plants. We're also interested in making sure that the low-level effects when the pesticides are present in low levels, not only EPA's acute toxicity levels, is an important way to protect our state's pollinators. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions to the testifier? Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So is there language that you that you think would be appropriately inserted somewhere to deal with that low-level toxicity? Or
yes,
maybe you've had a conversation with the author about it? I'm not sure.
Saran.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We do not support the language here that it's line 2.15, number 2, a concentration in its flowers greater than the no observed adverse effect level of a systemic insecticide. We don't support adding that language because we believe that this sends the incorrect message that it's only those high levels of pesticides that are harmful to bees. We know that, of course, these pesticides can kill bees outright at high enough levels, but that those low doses over the course of a lifetime are actually really impacting pollinators, individual pollinators, and entire colonies. And so we'd really set a bad precedent in Minnesota statute by changing the law in this way.
Representative Clark.
So, Mr. Chairman, have you had a chance to talk with the author about other language?
Mm-hmm. We would support making sure that what it says here around in line 2.11, number 1, has been treated with. Either just tracking whether or not a plant has ever been treated with one of these systemic insecticides, and if it has been treated, labeling it. If it has been treated with a pollinator lethal insecticide, then it cannot be labeled as bee friendly with or without testing. We would support that. We also support maintaining the bill as it currently stands before these amendments were introduced. So any detectable level.
Chair McNamara, did you have a comment on that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Clark. I understand where you're coming from. what we need to realize, the challenge we have right now is what the industry has done is it no longer can identify plants that are safe for bees to be a bee-friendly plant. So if you take the plant I refer to as bee balm, and unfortunately I'd have to have Mr. Power come down to give me the Latin name for it, but bee balm that is friendly to bees, it really attracts a lot of bees, may have been treated, the plant, in its early life, maybe at the wholesale nursery where it was growing with one of these chemicals. They no longer are at a level that are toxic. This would require the proposal, as she's presented, would require the plant to be labeled to have been treated with this that would lead people to believe that it's not a bee-friendly plant. What we're trying to say is that we don't want to sell bee balm that when bees land it on it, the bees are going to die. But we want to sell bee balm that promotes bee habitat, and that's what I believe my amendment now does. It's removed the language of any detectable level to a level that's lethal. So I'll continue to work with the interest group. The bill's being laid over. We want to promote pollinator bee-friendly habitat and plants. And we're working with Representative Hansen. I know Representative Hansen's got concerns still in the format of the way the bill is, and so we're trying to work through it.
All right. Thank you. Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll rely on that. I know you can look together. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Clark. Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, this is kind of why I asked the question about finance and policy, because I think in Representative Anderson's has a bill coming that's got a policy rider coming in this, and we could have this discussion in both bills when they're here or in the floor, and I'd encourage the chair to deal with only the finance portion again of this bill when it's compiled into an hour of this bill.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Representative Metza.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just got to say this bee stuff fascinates me. I got called by a local farmer in my district, a good friend of mine from growing up, actually in the southern part of the state when we lived in Rochester. And I got conned into getting these bees and going and picking them up and putting them in my trunk. Well, I had no idea they were actually like...
Like bees?
Well, they were... When you grab the box and it's shaken, you get a little worried, especially when you realize you don't have a truck and the thing's sitting in your trunk and there's plenty of spots to get through. So I drove as fast as I could back home within the parameters of the law, of course. And it was a good experience. I've learned, though, we've got to, I think, look into some of the other things, and the reason I'm bringing it up is the bees didn't survive last year. They were, more of a southern climate bee, and so they're looking into getting a Russian bee or some kind of, maybe Representative Fabian knows. I know when I went up to the legislative conferences, I saw a lot of bees up in your district, but more of a northern climate bee, and I believe they're a Russian descent or... So I'm fascinated to learn more. Thanks for the hard work on this. I'll look forward to moving forward.
Thank you, Representative Metza. I just pictured... I digress. No. I'm so sorry. You saw that movie Tommy Boy where he's yelling bees? I don't know what it is. Yesterday was my birthday, so give me a little bit of latitude here, right? So I'm sorry. Any additional questions for Ms. Horan? Any other questions? Thank you. I believe we do have another testifier, Aaron Rupp. Is that correct?
My testimony is related to the policy, so I'm going to hold it.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Rupp. Anybody else to testify for or against? Is that a Jones? Ms. Jones? Like to testify? No? I'm seeing none? All right. And anybody else? I'll just ask. Anybody else testify for or against this bill? It is a public hearing. Any other questions for the author of the bill? Members? Seeing none. Chair Anderson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would like to thank Chair McNamara. I know he's worked on this bill a lot and trying to bring the sides together. It's an issue I think we all agree on the basic premise of the bill, but I think we heard testimony that it precluded some nurseries from labeling anything just to be on the safe side. So, we'll keep working on this And I think there's agreement that we all have the same lofty goals of protecting our pollinators. And again, thanks for your work on it, Representative. And it's a work in progress. Thank you.
Thank you. Any final comments? All right. Seeing none, I'll renew my motion that House File 1906, excuse me, as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Next on the agenda, we'll take up House File 910. Representative Newberg, he is here. And Representative Neuberger, we did receive a fiscal note on this, and so we're going to be holding this bill over for possible inclusion, is what it's. So I'll go ahead and make the motion to get House File 910 in front of us, and it will be held over for possible inclusion. So, Representative Neuberger, to your bill, please.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This is a great day in St. Paul. I never thought you would see a Neuberger, Dibble, Brown, Kahn bill. But here it is. This is truly a bipartisan bill. And Mr. Chair, I believe there's an amendment I need to move here. It's the A-15 amendment.
All right, and that's just to get it in the order in which you'd like to present it, correct?
Right. Yes, Mr. Chair.
I'll move the A-15-0310. Any questions on that? Are we okay to go ahead and vote on this and get the bill in the shape the author would like to present it? Seeing no questions, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. What House File 910 does is it brings the farmers markets and the cottage food industry people into the 21st century. This is really designed to help folks to make some supplemental income. People that have a home baking or a home canning skill, or if they've got a good garden, if they want to sell some of their products at a farmer's market. What we tried to do here is really to keep all parties in mind and to work with everyone, and we have. We have folks from the farmer's market groups. We have folks from the cottage food industries. We have folks from the agencies, the health and agriculture. We even brought in people from the city of Minneapolis. They were concerned about the ordinance issues. And we really worked collaboratively together to bring forth a bill that upgrades and updates our laws concerning this. The cottage food industry is one that's growing. And what we tried to do here in Minnesota is to really bless people that are on fixed and limited incomes. The way we hammered this out would be if you went to the max, after your net income would be about $1,000 a month. So no one's going to get rich on this. This is not designed to be a primary income, but it's designed to help folks, especially retirees or single moms or single dad. Well, don't ask me to debate, but this is what this does, and it's a good bill, and I'm very pleased and very proud to bring this forward. And this will be one of those opportunities where you can honestly go back to your district and say you've worked on a bipartisan fashion, because it's kind of like a blue moon. I don't think we're going to see a Neuberger, Dibble, Brown, Kahn bill for a while again, and we are all very excited about this. And I do have some testifiers.
All right, thank you. How about we call up the testifiers at this time?
Absolutely.
And we'll hold the questions till the end, if we could, please. So if you'd like to bring your testifiers up front. So welcome to the committee. If you'd state your name and who you represent for the record, please, and begin.
Thank you for letting me speak today. My name is Marianne Sussman, and I'm here representing some individual cottage food operators of the future. This is a group of women who spend much of their time at home, and they need to make some additional income, and they also have a knack for baking. This bill will open the economic doors to my friend Connie and her double chocolate brownies. No, I don't have any on me today. It will give retired and underemployed Minnesotans who love to bake birthday cakes an opportunity to be more financially independent. Each of us agrees that the food safety is of the greatest importance. And so the requirement of successfully completing safe food handling training is very good and doable. We also find annual registration and renewals reasonable. This is a responsible bill that allows Minnesotans to safely sell non-potentially hazardous baked goods directly from their kitchens to the consumer. This is a bill authored by Democrats and Republicans that will help persons from every party. Please move this bill forward and recommend its passage through the legislature and on to the governor for signing into law. Thank you.
Thank you. And how about we go to the next testifier, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair and committee members. I am Kathy Zeman, a certified organic farmer just south of Northfield in Nurstrand. I sell my farm products at Riverwalk Market Fair Farmers Market in Northfield during the summer, and then from my farm shop all year long. I also work part-time for the Minnesota Farmers Market Association from my farm office. MFMA represents the 200-plus farmers markets in the state of Minnesota and the 4,000 to 6,000 vendors that sell year to year. MFMA was happy to work beside the authors on this bill and the many stakeholders involved in getting this bill to this point, and we do wholeheartedly support it. In particular, we're pleased with three main components of this bill. First, it does follow food safety science in only asking for an increased sales venue for a very limited menu of food, the non-potentially hazardous foods. Second, we like the fact that this amended bill updates Subdivision 9, the cottage foods, and Subdivision 10, the pickled foods of Statute 28A.15 in the same manner and at the same time, since in the farmers market world, many of our vendors sell food in both categories. Third, we believe the mandated food safety training specific to cooking food in a home kitchen for sale to the public and having each food entrepreneur register with the Minnesota Department of Ag to be a very wise investment for everyone. MFMA spent the past several months collaborating with the numerous stakeholders in order to help craft this bill while trying to minimize unintended consequences. We looped in the MDA, the MDH, the Minneapolis Department of Health, several of the outstate MDA and MDH delegated authorities, the Minnesota Grocers Association, the League of Minnesota Cities, the University of Minnesota Extension Services Food Safety Team, who signed off on the training requirements, and many, many of our vendors who sell baked and pickled foods at farmers markets across the state. We believe this bill will allow food entrepreneurs to grow and help build their resilient communities while still maintaining a high level of safety on the food side to the public. On behalf of MFMA and my fellow foodies, I thank you for considering this bill.
Thank you. We do have a question. Representative Metza.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just thinking my great aunt, or my Aunt Eva, great aunt, however it works, they're passed now, and Ellen, who kneaded dough and made some of the best darn biscuits I've ever had, would be disappointed if they couldn't do something like this. They had a good idea that was going to work to feed some people and spread the love with their food. And Representative Rukavina makes one heck of a pickled green bean, her former representative, I should say. So good job, Neuberger. Look forward to seeing this one move.
Thank you, Representative Metz. Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I support this bill, and thank you for all your work on it. I do have a question about one word here that it keeps talking about the person who made the food. And I'm certainly aware of individuals who are working as a team or as a group or as a community, and so I'm just wondering, does person here have a meaning broader than like one individual? So, for example, if an organization, a local, I'm thinking some of my urban farmers, you know, do some of this, like Little Earth of United Tribes, for example, they may be doing something that they're going to be selling. Do they have to put a person's name on there? Maybe this is a legal question, what is meant by person?
Representative Neuberger, we'd like the staff to answer that as well? Or
I can
Representative Neuberger.
That, yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Clark, that's an excellent question. This bill really addresses the individual responsibility portion of it. If you are part of a group that's doing an event, regardless, one person's going to have to step up and take responsibility. And if it came from your kitchen, if you're the one that's doing this, then you're the one that will be responsible for it. It doesn't say that you can't be involved in group activities, but there needs to be a place where the buck stops, and that's what the bill will allow us to do. So,
Representative Clark.
So, Mr. Chairman, I support the reasoning. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think it's important. I think having the name on there is great. I think, does it also say how to reach them if you have a question? Maybe it does. But it still doesn't answer my question exactly. So let's say it's a small group of women farmers or whoever we're talking about. They're doing it as a cooperative thing. So one person could agree to have their name on there. But is that what's required, or could it be like the name of the organization that's doing it? I think your point of accountability is exactly right. I'm just trying to see if we've got the words right so that we don't leave out some folks.
Okay. Representative Newberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Clark, no, this would not allow groups to function like that, and that would be a great amendment. But at this point in the time, what we're just trying to do is reduce barriers for folks that have got a talent to do this, to really make some extra income. And members, if you have any constituents that are big in the cottage food industry or in the farmers markets, by all means, let them lobby you. it's a good call to have at your office door.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman, maybe we could just work on some language to make sure that it doesn't exclude those folks, and I'd be glad to the between now and whenever the final version is.
Representative Newberger, work with?
Yeah, I'm Clark. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm open to that.
All right, thank you. Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Newberger, thanks. This is interesting. I like this. I do have one question on the amendment, and maybe just a little side note. In my district, Lake of the Woods is there, and there's lots and lots of fish houses on the lake. And I've had the occasion to have hot caramel rolls and cinnamon rolls that have been made by a person. You know, they got the oven right in the fish house, but a couple of years ago, they were told by a state agency that they had to stop doing that because they said, well, we'll just give them away. Well, you can't even give them away in that situation. My question is this. In subdivision 4, 2.18, 2.19, and you talked about reducing barriers, I agree. There's an annual registration fee of $50. But then in subdivision 5, on line 2.23 and 2.24, a requirement for training every 3 years. I'm wondering why we don't register the same as the training.
Representative Newberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Fabian. What we wanted to do was initially the fund itself is to really kind of grease the skids. We want to put some funding into the education portion of this. Folks that are doing this, we thought 3 years, the education component every 3 years was reasonable. The registration, if you're serious about it, $50 a year, we didn't see as a barrier. And we also, like I said, we can come back and amend this in the future. But right now, what we're really trying to do is bring this industry up to a 21st century level. And right now, $50 a year, people who are serious about this, that's not a barrier. And it's going to help get the momentum going.
Representative Fabian.
I'm good, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other questions for the testifier? Representative Sundin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks to the author for bringing this forward. I'm going to call this the Emma Olson measure. Keep my neighbor, Emma Olson, who makes really good bread, out of jail. So I'm sure she'll appreciate that. And I always thought I was a man of the world and knew lots of things, but under 1.17, it's number 8. What's a pizzle?
Representative Newberger.
Mr. Chair, Representative Sundin, you're looking at the old language. Right now, we're going off the current amendment. And to be honest with you, with a name like Newberger, I don't know.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I insist on Sundin. An answer.
No.
What's the pizzle?
Representative Newberger.
It's a small fairy that comes to your bedroom when you're a child and puts money under your pillow.
I have totally lost control of this committee. Totally lost control. Representative Sundin, a follow up on that. Are you okay with little fairy explanation? All right, thank you. Any other questions? Representative Mark Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Newberger, for bringing this.
I would actually like to see this expanded to someday go the gross receipts go past $18,000. I know it's a start for now. I do have a question, though, on page 2, lines 10 and 11, where it says that these products may not be sold outside of Minnesota. Now, just right there, I'm thinking, where are the food police? Because we're going to have be smuggling. Say we've got some constituent in Representative Fabian's district up there, and somebody goes across the border in North Dakota with a couple of pies. Is there going to be some sort of enforcement for this provision?
Representative Neuberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson. Well, if the pies survive the ride and nobody eats them, no, there's no enforcement to this. I would imagine that, you know, if you're baking something in Alexandria and your label shows up, you know, in Delaware and someone wants to press the issue, there's certainly an avenue for them to do that. But at this time, no, we don't have an enforcement provision here outside of the passive enforcement that you would have through the law. And I also have a testifier.
Yeah, Ms. Zeman, you want to answer that?
Yeah, I can try to answer part of it. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I think that refers to the pickled section, and pickled items can't cross interstate lines or you get caught up with FDA. So on the training, we'll handle this on the training side. We already trained this. It's very confusing to many of our vendors in Wisconsin who know that they can bake in Wisconsin and sell in their baked goods in farmers markets in Minnesota, but they can't bring their pickled items over, their home pickled items. So it's a federal law that we get caught on the pickles alone, not the baked goods, not the jams and jellies.
Representative Anderson.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. So if this is based under federal, is there a need that this is required to be in your bill too?
Representative Neuberger.
I would refer to Santo on this.
Mr. Chair, I don't think we'll need the referee. No, I don't think there's the need for that. No.
All right. We have Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question about the foodborne illness that was in the original bill, and now there isn't the inspection, the 24-hour. So is it back to what it would ordinarily be, and there's no reference to it, I don't think, I saw in this bill. So question for the author.
So Neuberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Poppy, you are correct. We sat down and we had a really good discussion, especially with the folks in the health area. And what we decided to do was just have a one-size-fits-all, and that's been gone. But, yes, there's really good safety measures built into this that's overseen by them.
Thank you.
Poppy? Oh, okay. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To go to Representative Sundin's question, I did call Top Crack Research, and it is a traditional Italian waffle cookie that can be soft or crispy, originally from the Ortana region or Abruzzo region of Italy.
Like I said, Mr. Chair, that's
thank you, Representative Neuberger. You all right? Now we know, Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just confused by the testimony. Not anything that's in the bill, but the testimony that was referring to the bill about pickles that are canned in Wisconsin not being able to be sold in Minnesota. Is that what you said, Mr. I'm sorry, I forgot your first name.
Ms. Zeman.
Zeman.
Correct. Home processed. They can if they've been pickled in a commercial licensed kitchen, but not the home canning, home processed.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Clark. Okay. Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Anderson brings up my district. To the north of me is Manitoba and Canada, too. Is this going to be? No. Are we going to open up some international trade wars here? No, I'm kidding.
Ms. Zeman? Are you comfortable with the language?
I'm sorry, excuse me. You're good?
I'm good.
No, no. We're okay?
You've lost control question. Again, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
All right. So any other questions for the testifiers? Hearing none. Any other questions for the author? Hearing none. Any final words from the author?
No, Mr. Chair. I thank you, members. This has been actually a really nice journey, and this is truly a bipartisan bill, and you can go home and be proud of it. So thank you.
All right, thank you. I'll renew my motion that House File 910, as amended, be held over for possible inclusion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next on the agenda, we're going to mix it up a little bit so I don't have to walk up front. Let's go to Representative Miller, House File 1451. Are you ready, Representative Miller? Otherwise, we can go to Applebaum. And while you're walking up front, Representative Applebaum, would you like to approve the minutes? Make sure. A motion to approve the minutes dated March 12th. Okay with that?
Sure.
All right, Representative Applebaum moves minutes dated March.
Problem?
Oh, dated March 12th. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Miller, two-year bill, and do you have an amendment, Representative Miller?
I do, Mr. Chair. Thank you for this opportunity, and I ask that you move a friendly amendment.
So Representative Miller moves House File 1451 to get it before us, and this will be held over as well, I believe, correct? Held over for possible inclusion.
And I ask that we amend it with 1451A3.
All right. And so Representative Anderson, are you going to move House File be the A3 amendment, 1451A3?
Mr. Chair, I would move the A3 amendment to the overlying bill. Yes.
All right. And would you like to explain the amendment here briefly, Chair Anderson?
Well, the underlying bill, it was a good idea to study the either increase or decrease in livestock production in Minnesota, and we thought it would be appropriate to add this additional item to the study to see if this type of thing would also impact livestock production in Minnesota.
All right, thank you. Any questions about the amendment? Here in Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm a co-author on this bill, and I support the concept of the study. And this is the first I've seen the amendment. I guess I should have done that while I was in Transportation Committee last night, Phil Pan. But my thought is that it may detract from it. One of the things, the nuisance issue is I've been investigating a little bit, and it's pretty complex. And because, actually, I've been investigating what my county does, and I think my county has a pretty thorough and they do pretty well with it. And then I read in the newspaper that there's problems with issues related to livestock operations in Dodge County. That was reported in the newspaper the other day, and it appears to me that Dodge County does it significantly differently than Nicollet County. And I don't claim to be an expert on this, but it seems like my problem with this can really complicate, which can be a fairly straightforward study. And I think I really, again, I want to recommend, compliment Representative Miller the other day in following up on this came out of either the policy or out of this committee. And I think it merits, I think we need to understand that. And my fear is that this will there's too many variables because county to county to state, it I don't know how we could generalize it, and it might muddy the waters. I think we do want to look at how Minnesota fares compared and the trends in these industries between the multiple states, and that's my concern about it.
Thank you. Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I understand the concern, but in the bill I had that didn't make a deadline, there was testimony from some livestock people that because of this type of lawsuit, they would not look favorably on expanding again in Minnesota. So I think this is a factor in the future of livestock of production in the state, and again I would just think that this could be looked at in part in the overall agenda of this bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions to the amendment? Any other questions? All right, we're going to go ahead and vote on the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Representative Miller, two-year bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and to go to Representative Johnson's comments. This did come out of the discussion we had early on in this committee. There was a discussion on livestock. I don't remember the exact conversation, but we were kind of going through anecdotal evidence of this and that and the other thing in this state, and I think this is a very important issue. I think livestock industry, animal ag is something that's very important for our state. And for my district, I think it's going to be very important for the stability of the economy. So I had a discussion with Representative Johnson and with you, Mr. Chair, and some other people. I did speak with the commissioner, Commissioner Fredrickson, about this and got his opinion, and he thought it would be a good study as well. I did talk with CFANS to see if perhaps they would be the better direction, and they actually said they didn't know that they, to be honest, the professor, the dean didn't know that he had the grad student to do it quite specifically, but he thought that this would be good through the Department of Agriculture. And then as we did the fiscal note on this, I see that the University of Minnesota is going to be heavily participating in this. Anyway, we think this is a good study to do in this state, and I appreciate you having it here before our committee here today, and I hope that we can move it forward.
All right, thank you. Any further questions? Would anybody like to testify for or against this bill in the audience? It is a public hearing, hearing none. And I take it you said your final words, is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you. So Representative Miller will renew his motion that House File 1451, as amended, be held over for possible inclusion. Thank you, Representative. Next, Representative Applebaum, would you like to go next? That's House File 1079. So Representative Applebaum makes the motion to move House File 1079, and this will also be held over for possible inclusion. Representative Applebaum, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for the opportunity to present House File 1079 before you this morning. I'm going to be brief. I know we've got another bill on the agenda. So, in short, this bill would establish an office within the Department of Agriculture to provide a one-stop shop for people seeking information or assistance on obtaining or renewing licenses, permitting, meeting state regulatory requirements, or resolving disputes within state agencies. Indeed, the goal of this legislation is to make it easier for farmers to comply with state regulations so that they can concentrate on what they do best, which is being farmers and growing and sustaining our economy. The idea for this legislation was planted in my mind, no pun intended, after noticing a recurring theme we've heard from multiple people and organizations testifying in this committee that permitting and the regulation process is very complex. In particular, on February 5th, there was a conversation during this very committee between Representative Hansen and Mr. John Gordon, president of the Minnesota Turkey Growers Association, that suggested how it would be helpful to have somebody with expertise who is consistently available to help farmers work through the often complex process. When I started working on the bill, I thought the approach of creating a farmer ombudsman office would be a good way to establish such a one-stop shop. Given that the Department of Agriculture already contracts out services to help farmers facing financial difficulties, creating an ombudsman with more technical expertise in regulation, licensing, and all the new permitting reforms seemed like it would be a good fit. Since there is strong bipartisan authorship on this bill, including Chair Hamilton and Chair Anderson, my goal is to have this conversation here today regarding this need and hopefully end up with a product that ultimately helps farmers what they do best, farming and growing and sustaining the economy without having to worry about and getting tied up in the complex regulatory permitting, licensing, and inter-agency disputes that they so often face. Like a number of bills moving through this and other committees, House File 1079 is a work in progress. During the Ag Policy Committee, which this bill was previously heard, there were some concerns addressed, not negative, just suggestions by Mr. Cruz as to more definition as to what this position would entail. He and I met recently. We had the first of what I hope will be many discussions in defining the role more clearly so that not just legally but logistically the ombudsman can do their job in a way that this bill was intended. I know our discussions will continue, Mr. Cruz, and look forward to getting it tighter before this bill is ultimately considered to be included in the omnibus bill. For members unaware, if it's not on your briefs, this bill received supportive testimony from Ron Harvick from the Minnesota Biofuels Association during the policy committee, and I urge your support of this bill and look forward to working with you to make sure that we can get something in place that can assist farmers in doing what they do and really limit the time they have to worry about dealing with all of these new laws and often too complex regulations. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Applebaum. We do have a couple of questions. Representative Grunhagen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your testimony, Representative Applebaum. I guess I look at this and I agree with you on the complexity of the laws and regulations. We've heard about that during this session and just in general with government. But I don't know how one more employee is going to straighten that out. I mean, shouldn't the department be assisting people looking for licenses and to meet regulatory requirements? Shouldn't they already be doing that with their existing staff and their department? I mean, when I think of government being a servant of the people, it should, you know, I get a farmer coming in there or somebody in agriculture needing help with renewing a license or meeting state regulatory requirements. I mean, it just seems to me the existing staff should be doing that already. I don't know. I don't see how adding another person is going to make that easier, unless I'm not understanding something.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Representative Applebaum, we'll have Mr. Cruz comment on this as well. Okay. You're okay with that?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. I was hoping to show off a little bit.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go right ahead. I'm sorry, Representative Applebaum. I apologize.
I put on a nice tie today. I think there might be photos of me, and I thought I should probably come prepared to answer
questions. You look
good. Thank you. You do, too.
So.
But I certainly would like some backup if I'm misstating anything. But Representative Grunhagen, thank you for the question. You know, it's my understanding, and while I don't have as deep of roots in the ag community as some members on this committee, that in my conversations with Mr. Cruz and just generally listening over the past couple months here, is farmers want help with permitting and licensing in all areas. And currently, I mean, they have to deal with so many different departments and agencies, agencies within the department, whether, you know, if they need help with groundwater, they have to go through the DNR, feedlot issues through the PCA, all the rule writing status, zoning, the crops versus livestock issues. And so, again, my understanding and what I've been hearing is that people are frustrated that they'll call the department and essentially they'll be bounced around for all, you know, to different people for all of these issues they may have. And so the idea behind this is to consolidate those people into one-stop shop, and this person would have thorough knowledge of the interconnectedness of all these agencies within the Department of Agriculture, all the resources available to farmers, and be able to facilitate delivering those services either himself or herself or by simple call or email made, so that a person that is struggling with questions doesn't have to deal with 20 different people in certain cases. Instead, it will just be one. So I'll ask Mr. Cruz to back me up
here. Ms. Cruz?
Mr. Chair and members and Representative Gruenhagen, you're exactly right. The department should be doing this already, and we do for the areas we have authority in. What we read as new in this bill is actually giving this person the authority to do what we do for farmers, for all the programs and statutes we have responsibility for, and actually coordinating that throughout the interagency system. So what you heard Representative Applebaum say was exactly right. You know, when a farmer says that they want to do a feedlot, there are a lot of different steps. Very few of those steps are done through the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Most of them are done, the more difficult ones are done at the community or the county level, with getting your conditional use permit, your zoning. Then you have the DNR if you have a groundwater appropriation, which you're almost sure to have if it's a CAFO. And you also have the PCA to actually permit your 1,000 animal units. Animal units, for those who are not aware, is one animal unit is about 1,000 pounds steer equivalent of manure generation. So as you go down in the level, you've got more animals, but the same animal units. These are complex areas, and they are not necessarily, or they're not currently within the department's purview, but this person, this office, would be the coordination between the different agencies of navigating those complex issues for the farmer.
Representative Gruenhagen.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Chair. Thank you for that response. I guess my response would be maybe we should expand your authority so you can help in those different areas, or maybe we should simplify the system, because I know we have a very complex permitting process, as evidenced by previous bills introduced by I won't name who, but he's smiling right now. You know, I'm a firm believer that government needs to be a servant of the people and not its master. And I don't know if adding additional people at $100,000 a year in 10 years, that's $1 million, when we have so many other needs. We need educators, additional educators. There's a host of other needs. And I just don't know if this is going to solve the process when we should be concentrating on streamlining the process and making it easier. So that's just my general response and food for thought.
Thank you, Representative Gruenhagen. And Representative Applebaum and I were talking about this. And Representative Applebaum, I don't want to put any words in your mouth, but my take home from this as well is that it would be extremely beneficial for someone within the Department of Agriculture firsthand knowledge of how complex the system is as well. And I think that would bring great value. Representative Gruenhagen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I appreciate those comments. And I would just say we have models, I think, that we could look to our neighboring states, which my understanding is are a lot simpler process than what we have. And maybe we could look at streamlining the process and reducing the cost and time and frustration and actually having additional money to meet the needs in some of the other areas that we seem to be coming up short. Anyway, just food for thought.
Thank you, Representative Gruenhagen. We do have a number of questions. Chair Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. If you'd permit a little story, the last day before Easter break, we all seem to be in a little bit more laid-back mood today, which is good. I happen to be in the committee where Representative Applebaum gave his first bill. I think it was property tax or something like that. And I'll get this back to agriculture. But for his treat that morning, he brought us apples, which is appropriate, I think, with your name and whatever. But the apples were excellent. And I'm kind of a connoisseur of apples, and they were juicy, crisp, sweet, excellent apples, and I would bet they were Honey Crisp, which was developed here by the University of Minnesota. So thanks for the great treat. Thanks for promoting Minnesota agriculture, and good luck with your bill.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. Representative Anderson, Mark, you have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Applebaum, I'm just looking at your bill, and I'm kind of following where Representative Gruenhagen was going with this, of establishing through the legislature another position for to help out up at the MDA. I understand the MDA does have some issues. Mr. Cruz, the checklist that you've been working on for our brewery type process, that's almost complete. I'll have that for you next week, but it kind of follows where I'm going with this, is that you know, again, I'm a business guy, and I'm looking at $100,000 that we are going to legislate to give to a person, just short of making a motion to offer this position, at least the salary, to Mr. Cruz to up his position over there. Could we do this for half that price, $100,000?
Mr. Cruz, or Representative Applebaum, I'm
well,
sorry.
I'll just start by thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Anderson, you know, I appreciate the question, and you know, I was thinking about this, and in working with the MMB office, I learned that the average state employee compensation, including salary plus benefits, is approximately $58,000, and this position would require someone to have a significant expertise in the inner workings of the entire department, and as you've experienced in your beer venture, you know, it can often be frustrating when you don't get a hold of the right person and they send you to somebody else and then somebody else and someone else, and so this person would be an expert in preventing what you went through from happening, and so a salary a bit higher than the average stated by MMB, I think, would be appropriate, but I'll give it up to Mr. Cruz.
Mr. Cruz?
Mr. Chair and members, that's exactly right. We would probably end up using most of this money, or at least a significant portion of it, not for the salary, but for the incidentals of, you know, training would be significant on this. Getting someone trained up to the level of being able to be a one-stop shop for what you have all have seen is a very complex network of interagency working on the same issues and having different responsibilities. So I wouldn't say that this person is going to be $100,000. That would be their salary. There's, as you know, being a business guy, there's a lot of other costs associated with that. The other thing I would say is that when you are trying to implement something new, a lot of times you don't know exactly every aspect of what's going to be incurred. So it may require certain classes for someone. And, you know, if you're going to actually help someone get up to the level where they can speak intelligently to permitting processes, there are people who currently do that. And if you want the system to stay currently as it is, and again, I should remind you that the department doesn't have a position on this bill. This is not a department request. But if what the legislature is telling the department, they really want this one-stop shop, you need someone who has a commensurate level of expertise as what lives around the other agencies. That's a lot of education.
You know, and to that point, listening to what Representative Anderson and Representative Grunhagen are talking about, Representative Applebaum, maybe in addition to this, this could be followed up with a report on how this has simplified or shortened the permitting process, and so that we're actually getting feedback around all of that as well. I'm sorry, you still have the floor, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not here just to rip on the Department of Agriculture right now. What I can say is that the MDA does have some seriously qualified people that are experts in all of the above, and to coordinate that, you know, whatever the structure it is, you would think that that would just be some internal mechanism, can be handled under circumstances right now, or certain conditions. To add another person coming from this body, just to me seems like it's overreach. That's just my personal opinion on it.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. And since I did name or call on, Representative Grunhagen, we'll move you to the top of the list.
Okay, just a quick follow-up because I know other people have questions. But, you know, I would, if it could turn into a one-stop shop, I probably would look at supporting it. But I would say the $100,000 should be reduced in the agencies that have so complicated this process that a farmer can't find his way through. So you take the money that were the $100,000 from those agencies and reduce it, okay, then that'll free up the money for paying for this position to create a one-stop shop. We just added, according to the information I have, from January 2012 to January 2015, 5,725 new FTEs. Okay, to state government. That's more than one of the largest towns in my whole district. of men, women, and children. The whole town of Glencoe, it's more. And they all want salaries, they all want benefits, and they all want to retire early. And I understand that, okay? But at what point does this whole thing get out of balance? So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Gruenegg. We do have Representative Bly, then Representative Miller.
Thank you, Chair. I'm interested in this discussion we're having. I guess I'm someone who believes that one of the reasons we have government is we want to protect sometimes conflicting rights for people. And it's one of the reasons I'm concerned about the direction with the nuisance law that we'd heard in some discussion before, is that we're talking about taking away someone's rights, and or alleged potentially taking away someone's rights. And I think regulations are an extension of our government trying to protect the rights of some, and sometimes we have to limit or control some of the rights of others in order to have there be some kind of compromise. And yes, we need to review and look at regulations and make sure that we aren't inhibiting the progress of business completely, but we also need, I think, through government, need to look at what rights are being stepped on, and hopefully government can resolve that conflict. We saw earlier the discussion about the bees and the beekeepers and how that conflicts with landscape folks, and that's a difficult process to work your way through. That said, I think this is a good idea, but my understanding was also that Representative Applebaum, your bill is not just aimed at helping people through the feedlot process, but you're looking at a variety of permits and licenses that farmers of all size farms might need help with. And sometimes approaching the agency can be pretty overwhelming, and having some place to go to help you sort of find your way through that. And then I was also intrigued by Mr. Santos' comments about that this would also help you with other agencies as well. And if you want to comment, you can. But one last thing. If I can add additional question to what I asked you, I a number of years ago worked on eminent domain issues that farmers dealt with. Would this ombudsman also help a farmer who was, facing eminent domain issues, and either from, say, a utility or the transportation department, or from whatever? Would that also be something that might fall under the purview of this ombudsman?
Representative Applebaum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Bly, that's something that I've certainly considered, and that will be a subject that will be discussed between Mr. Cruz and I. Again, I don't want to... The purpose of this program is to simplify life for farmers. In doing so, it is not my intention to step on anyone's toes, provide services that other departments are currently providing, but instead just simplify it, having one-stop shop to deal with all issues that are currently either not dealt with or not dealt with in an efficient manner that has been resulting in too much time that farmers are spending on the phones instead of on the fields. So I would be open to anything that would fall in line with that overall approach, whether it's eminent domain, feedlots, permitting, regulating, everything. So thank you for the thought, and do you have anything to add?
Mr. Cruz, anything to add?
Mr. Chair, I just add that, again, I want to say that this is not an MDA bill. We don't have a position on it. However, we do see it as an interagency effort. This person would only be valuable if they were able to help out with everything a farmer needs to do when they're trying to do their daily business. That could be an organic farmer. That could be a large production farmer. It could be a CAFO. It could be USDA certification for organic. We have those, you know, we have guide sheets, and we have places on our website, and we have people that you can find in the rank and file of the department who do this on an individual basis when issues arise. But we do not have someone who does this for the entire agency, nor do we have someone who does it for all of the issues related to agriculture that live outside of the Department of Agriculture.
Thank you, Mr. Cruz. Representative Bly, do you have a follow-up or anything?
No.
All right, thank you. We do have a number of other questions. Representative Miller, Representative Daniels, Metza, Poppy, and Representative Fabian. I want to remind everybody that my bill's up next. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Applebaum, I'm so thankful that you're bringing this issue forward, because what brought my research bill out was just the craziness that's going on with agriculture trying to figure out how to get through permitting, get through all these different things, just to do their business. I think it should be noted, and it goes to the point that I'm going to make, is the farmers that I know, and we're talking farmers that might have as little as 1,000 acres and might have a couple barns with hogs in it or something like that, are actually hiring someone themselves just to deal with all of this stuff. Because it can be so overwhelming to try and do your daily work and still be able to grow your business with some of the things you want to do. And so, actually, my argument would be, and I agree with you, the last thing I want to do is grow government, but my argument would be is that I don't see how one person would do this for the state of Minnesota. And so it kind of undershoots it. I'm not recommending an amendment to expand this tenfold, but my point being is what Mr. Cruz said, kind of touched on, that there's some of the interagency things, some of these different things that the, you know, that was said that they already do within the agency. And what I would be willing to pledge to Representative Applebaum is whichever way your specific bill moves forward, I'm so thankful that someone's addressing this. And I would be willing to work with you to come up with a comprehensive way. This will take a while. This is not going to be before any deadlines this year. But this is something that we can move forward and really help. Because I hear your heart that you're saying you're trying to help the farmers simplify this. And that's what I think they're ultimately asking for. So you're spot on. I want to be able to help with that. So if there's any way that I can help come alongside you in the future and we can come up with perhaps what other states are doing or things like that, I'd love to help. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Miller. Representative Applebaum, you want to respond? Or can I go to the next? Representative Daniels.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll try to make this brief because I don't want to get you on your bad side. So you're having a good day so far. My background is in business, and in the last 17 years I'd worked at Northern Tool and Equipment, which is a pretty wide variety of products. And I was the head of the warranty department there, so we had to deal with helping people get their machines back up and running on a timely basis. And to simplify things and save money, what we developed was a multi-layered online website, basically, that you could enter. So if you had a question on a pressure washer, you could click on hot water pressure washer. And if you had a certain model, you could click on the model. And if it didn't start, you could click on, you know, didn't start. And it walks you through the process really fast. They really streamlined it and did a good job. And I'm just wondering if that would ever be possible. Maybe it's a question for Mr. Cruz, that using technology, we might have a little bit more money maybe the first year to get everything programmed. But after that, it would just simply be updating the program that's there. That's just going to throw that out as an idea.
Yeah, thank you, Representative. Mr. Cruz.
Mr. Chair, members, Representative Daniels and I actually talked about his experience at Northern Tool, and he doesn't give himself enough credit. One of the things that we were discussing was that oftentimes he was the last, the buck stopped with him at the end of the angry phone calls of getting bounced around Northern Tool or any different place. And what was interesting was he had a similar experience that I had when I manned the citizen info line for the department, or for Hennepin County, when I was before I was prosecuting. Is that you know, they, by the time they get to you, they're so hot with anger that they've been bounced around. They don't feel like they've been listened to. They don't know exactly where their answer is going to come from. And yet, his experience was similar to mine. He said, you know, typically within 15 minutes, that person was happy, relaxed, because you were listening, you were trying to address the problem, and you were the person they were trying to get to. You know, obviously the idea was, you know, if you could move Representative Daniels up the food chain and say, this is what we need to do, and that's what they did. And they solved a lot of their problems that way. We would definitely take that type of approach, because you know, even though we're government, we're human like everybody else. We don't like to be bounced around either.
Thank you. Representative Daniels, follow-up? You all right? Representative Metza.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to add a little perspective from the mining industry, and I think, you know, it would be pertinent to discuss some of the new standards coming forth in regard to this, and the Department of Agriculture probably will play a role in terms of some of the farming areas that will be potentially affected by some of the sulfate standards. And I think this is spot on. It's something we should be investing in. And, you know, I kind of got laughed at my first year. I brought forward a bill to our delegation expanding staff for both the MPCA and the DNR, and they had to work together was a requirement in it and find commonalities to help on permitting, not cutting any red tape or anything, but just providing the people. And lo and behold, we found solutions to a few projects. We've created jobs because of that in my community, and I think that this is something that, again, is spot on, and I look forward to seeing this move forward and get passed in and working with you on that issue.
Thank you, Representative Metza. I thought we were going to carry a bill together to bring the PCA and the DNR in underneath the Department of Agriculture.
Amen. Mr. Metza. Chair, we can do that.
All right. Thank you, Representative Metza. Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I won't belabor this issue. I think this is a good bill, and I do appreciate that Representative Applebaum brings this legal mind to this, and you know, and that's something that maybe we haven't had so much in the past. You know, we've had a lot of people that are connected to agriculture and doing different things, but to have a little bit more of an outsider look into the realm of agriculture and how it might impact farmers. So I appreciate that he's bringing this bill. And one thing I'd like to mention is it doesn't actually say that you're just hiring one person. You're saying that you're creating an ombudsman office. And I think that, you know, there may be movement to, instead of just saying it's one person, it is maybe something that you could bring, you know, a number of people. And I think the training pieces Mr. Cruz had talked about is an important piece of this. And just one final comment, sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And when you're calling, you know what your problem is, but you don't know what your solution is, obviously. So you're trying to figure that out. And I think this is helpful to, obviously, it's raised a lot of dialogue here. So I think it certainly is something that raises an issue that maybe we hadn't previously really addressed, and so I appreciate that.
Thank you, Representative Poppy. Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's interesting. I was making some notes here, and I appreciate Representative Applebaum doing this, obviously. I was the guy who was smiling that Representative Grunhagen was talking about when he was, you know, for 4 years plus now, I've been doing a lot of stuff on permitting and streamlining, and I applaud your effort. Contrary to my good friend Representative Metza, I am trying to cut red tape, okay? But my note was, that I was making, was to Representative Miller's bill, and he circled back on it as well. I think that if the study really is done with the author's intent, the regulations and the permitting is going to be a substantially large factor in decisions that are made by producers to grow, to expand, to start. So, Representative Applebaum, I applaud your efforts. And in House File 1, we did this over the deed office. It has paid off somewhat there. I'm, like Representative Miller, more than happy to sit down with you and try to work some things out so that we can speed this stuff up. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Fabian. This is a public hearing. Would anybody like to testify for or against this bill? Seeing none, Representative Applebaum, any final comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members, you know, looking around the committee, I just want to say thanks for considering it. And, you know, whether you work at Northern Tool, whether you're an insurance agent, a pork producer, a teacher, have a brewery, I mean, there's, or a lawyer, and thanks for bringing that up. I'm trying to get this bill advanced, so I really wish you hadn't reminded people of what I do when I'm not here. But, you know, as a lawyer, too, no one is going to be an expert on every single subject. There will be times, and no matter what your field, that issues arise, you have questions, and you need help. And in my experience, and I would imagine the same, you've had the same experience, 99% of the issue is just finding the right person. Once you have the right person, your issue will be resolved quickly. And so this bill seeks to establish that one person or persons in the form of an ombudsman's office to help farmers what they do best. So I thank you for the comments. I represent Miller and Fabian. I look forward to working with you to get this thing even better and pass a measure that will truly help farmers stay in the fields and help grow our economy. So thank you again, and appreciate it.
Thank you, Representative Applebaum. Representative Applebaum renews his motion that House File 1079 be held over for possible inclusion. Thank you. All right, members, just a quick announcement. The GOP members of this committee will be meeting 400 South, is that correct? Immediately. 400 North, immediately after this hearing. And Representative Johnson, would you like to chair the committee while we go up? I know we've been working closely on this bill as well, so if you'd chair the committee. And if you get out of line and do anything funny, I'm going to run right back up here. Yeah.
And I don't run.
The 14-year-old in me gives me some temptation.
Is that Highway 14?
The next bill on the agenda is House File 536.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll move House File 536 be held over for possible inclusion. Just get the bill before us.
Representative Hamilton moves that House File 536 be for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Ag Finance Bill. I understand there's an amendment.
That's correct. That's correct, Mr. Chairman. I do have a testifier to speak to the amendment, if we could go there at this time.
Would you like to move your amendment?
Yes, thank you. I'll move the A13th Amendment. Or A13. Thank you.
And would you state your name and who you're associated with and give us the testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Brendan Jordan with the Great Plains Institute, representing the Bioeconomy Coalition of Minnesota. The amendment concerns cellulosic biofuel projects that would use crop residues as a feedstock, and the amendment adds a new requirement that those facilities utilize either perennial energy crops or cover crops. Biomass from cover crops. It also adds some additional provisions to the responsible sourcing plan, assuring sustainable management practices for crop residues when they are used in these projects.
So,
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think most of the discussion here today, because I believe there's others that would like to testify on it, I think most of the discussion is to the amendment. So if we could take the testimony first before we vote on the amendment, I think that would be best, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Hamilton. Before we move on, does anybody have any questions for the testifier? Seeing none, is there anyone else that would like to testify on the amendment?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, very briefly, Steve Morris with the Minnesota Environmental Partnership. Those of you who are on the Ag Policy Committee may recall, we and others testified against this bill in that committee. After a lot of discussion and good work by the author of the bill, I'd also like to thank Representative Johnson and Representative Bly for some of their ideas. We helped produce this amendment, and our coalition now also stands in support of both the amendment and the bill. The agreement that we have is really three-legged, and two legs are in part of this, which is the facility phase-in of a perennial cropping supply.
the changes in the harvesting guidelines, and then we're also supporting in different vehicle a working lands watershed restoration incentive program that would provide an incentive for putting perennial crops on the landscape that can be used for this crop or be used for grazing. And we just would like to thank the members for the work that's been put forward. There's been a lot of discussion since the last committee, and we support it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Morris. Does anybody, do any members have a question for the testifier? Seeing none, I invite other more testimony. And would you please identify yourself for the record?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Doug Busselman, Minnesota Farm Bureau. And we're here today to speak in support of the bill, and we understand about the amendment, and we're still in support of the bill. We believe that this is going to move the cellulosic biofuels program further ahead. It's got a great incentive approach, and we are in support of the bill.
Thank you. Any questions for this testifier? No? Next. And would you please identify yourself as well?
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Tom Peterson. I represent the Minnesota Farmers Union, and we too support this bill as amended. Appreciate that the different parties have come together and feel this bill is an important compromise that offers opportunities for projects to move forward that will benefit our farmers. The bill is an important step in helping to commercialize the next generation of biofuels and offer new value-added opportunities for agriculture and bio-based chemicals. Thank you for your consideration.
Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Peterson? Seeing none, are there anybody? Is there anybody else that would like to testify to the amendment? Oh,
no, you can see about testifiers, but I just want to make a comment.
Seeing no other testifiers, Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just wanted to commend Chair Hamilton on his work on this, and to be willing to see how this amendment can move the whole product forward. I think it's, it is something to compromise, and it's something to, move away sometimes from what you see a direction going, and now it's going a different direction maybe a little bit. But I think it's, there has been work. I know Representative Bly and Representative Johnson have spoken to me a number of times about what they'd like to see with this bill. But I really think, Chair Hamilton, you were willing to consider some options, and I appreciate that you are willing to consider it to allow this bill to continue to move forward. I think it's just an outstanding next generation effort for us and for the industry. So I appreciate your work.
Representative Hamilton.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, Representative Poppy. And we have some, without saying too much, we also have some verbal commitments as far as supporting our ag research component, the education piece, and the rapid response. So, again, I'm going to need everybody's help here. And so, like you said, in spirit of compromise, we are continuing on with some of those other initiatives as well, and I look forward to working with everybody, and hopefully I have your support with that as well. So, Mr. Chairman, I think at this time we could probably act on the amendment. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Chair Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just had a question for Chair Hamilton on how this would work with the amendment, and I, too, thank you for compromising and making the parties come to agreement. You know, the biomass, perennial crops, cover crops are kind of new technology. We don't have a lot of it yet. What would happen if, when we get into like the third or fifth year, when the amendment says that at least half must be coming from perennial crops or biomass? Could this, in effect, kind of hold back on more conventional, or how would this work if we don't get ramped up in time to carry out this amendment?
Chair Hamilton.
Mr. Chairman and Chair Anderson, thank you for the question. They wouldn't receive payments. In the event they did not meet the aggressive goals in here, quite frankly, they would not receive the payments.
Mr. Jordan, did you wish to comment on that?
Mr. Chair and Chair Anderson, I think it's a great question, and there's no question in my mind that this approach does sort of push the envelope. It is pushing not just innovation, on the facility side, on the technology side, but it is also pushing some innovation on the feedstock side. I wouldn't say that it's completely a completely new approach. However, you know, I've been down to Tennessee. There's a company called Genera Energy that has actually harvested 5,000 acres of switchgrass, and it has gone into a DuPont cellulosic ethanol plant. So, you know, it is certainly, we do have the ability. There has been a lot of breeding research on switchgrass and other dedicated energy crops. It's been a major focus for the Department of Energy. So I think it's challenging. This schedule is challenging, but it's feasible.
Anybody else have any questions? Okay, then we will move to the decision on the amendment. All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? It passes. Now we'll move on to the bill. Representative Hamilton, any further comment on your bill as amended?
You know, Mr. Chairman, like I said, the groups have been working very hard to come together, find some common ground. This is part of, this will be a nice addition, I believe, once we put forth a final bill, omnibus bill, and I simply ask for your support.
Is there anybody else that would like to testify on the bill as amended? I will take the liberty to make a comment. To those who say that agriculture and environment and those who work in the environment cannot get along, I hope they notice today that these two important groups of people in Minnesota are really united as one and frequently are the same. And I think we should take note of that, and I think it's an accomplishment. My compliments to everybody involved, and particularly, again, to you, Representative Hamilton. I think this bodes well for what we can do in Minnesota. Representative Metza.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Chair, it's only appropriate that I would give a special thanks to us from northeastern Minnesota. I just tweeted it out. Only in this committee can you see things like must be harvested by a Minnesota certified master logger.
And Mr. Chairman, that was the former Representative Tommy Rukavina provision. So, and if you know Representative Rukavina, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Any other comments? Then we will go to a final vote. Did you any closing comments, Representative Hamilton?
Mr. Chairman, no. I think I've said what I needed to say.
Okay. Representative Hamilton renews his motion to lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus agriculture finance bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee.
Okay. I have an announcement. You should be watching for emails from committee staff regarding the timeline of the omnibus ag finance bill. And with that, I believe we're adjourned until Tuesday, April 7th. Until after we return from recess. We're adjourned.